Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio. It is November the 5th, 2015. If you're looking for an alternative to the mainstream narrative, or if you're sick of the politicians lying to you, then you are in the right place this evening. We are fully independent, without bias, whether you want to hear about it or not, honestly, and we'll get into that a little bit later. As always, at the top of the show, I would like to run over a few statistics that the corporate media somehow seems to neglect to inform its viewers. So far, in 2015, 1,008 people have been killed by police officers. 1,008 people dead by the hand of police officers in 2015. The reverse of that stat is there have been 106 officers killed, or should I say have died in the line of duty this year. That statistic does include things like heart attacks, car wrecks, plus gunfire and being killed in the line of duty. The United States, great ally, fantastic. You know, they can do nothing wrong. They're the great good guys. Saudi Arabia, 142 executions so far on the year. The majority of those are by beheading, but, you know, no harm, no foul. They've got all. The United States doesn't have a problem with that. And the city of Chicago, we'd like to give an update on the murder statistics and the injuries from gunfire for the year. So far, 2,586 people have been shot in the city of Chicago so far in 2015, and 434 homicides. The reason I like to give that stat is because they have very strict gun control laws in Chicago, and Holder and Obama have both talked about how the city of Chicago would be, you know, a good example for the rest of the country. And we see it over 25, almost 2,600 people now have been shot this year alone just in Chicago. So that's, you know, not something I would like in my neighborhood, for sure. I'm sure you out there probably feel exactly the same way. In the studio with us tonight is Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, how's you doing this evening?
Howdy, howdy, Mr. Gibson. Doing great. Just got off work. It's a pleasure to be sitting in with you tonight. Hopefully I'll stay awake a little bit easier, a little better than I did last go around. But all is well, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I tell you, there's a lot going on in the news right now. The first thing, really, I'd like to talk about, if you heard the story about what happened with the Doctors Without Borders, and there were shots being fired as people ran away from the hospital, people being shot at.
Yeah, actually, I was reading about that. I'd like to tell you that I'm surprised. I'm not. I'm horrified just as much, I think, as most of us should be, ideally, but considering what we keep seeing, you know, the stories as they keep changing and unfolding, I'm not surprised to find out that this is just another step in how far this bombing went and how much the authorities have gone to kind of cover it up.
Yeah, it's really terrifying because our government, first they gave, what, four different stories in the first 4 days after it happened.
Oh, easily.
And this is the United States bombing a hospital. At least 30 people died. The United States killed in a hospital. Like, think about that. Think about the context of that. And we're not talking about they accidentally bombed a hospital. We're talking about they targeted a hospital.
Targeted, right. You know, and we've heard mixed reasons why they claim to have even done that. Some say that, you know, there's a claim that supposedly jihadists of some degree were hiding in the hospitals, supposedly were firing out of the hospitals. But even that idea has been floated back and forth. And, you know, what gets me is now that we've seen how much of a, you know, an issue that's caused. And meanwhile, Doctors Without Borders is still demanding an outside investigation. The U.S. says they're going to continue their own internal investigation. But while this is doing this, now they're accusing Russia, of course, of bombing these other Doctors Without Borders facilities.
But they cannot provide any examples. They just say Russia is targeting hospitals, Russia is doing this, and when they're asked about it, they just, you know, well, you know, there's media reports.
Right. It's like the picture of the tanks, supposedly the tanks that were lined up over in Crimea in the Ukraine Revolution, a little bit earlier in that, and trying to use, you know, that to get U.S. troops in Ukraine. It totally wasn't there. Thankfully, you know, we had a few voices calling it out for the sham, what it was, but more propaganda.
Oh, it is. It makes me think of, you know, babies getting thrown out of incubators or weapons of mass destruction or whatever grand lie you want to point back to.
That's been a long time, too, since that testimony from that authority's daughter that made that testimony. I'm really curious to see how many people still even remember that in the audience. I, you know, it's been a long time, but it goes to show you, though.
It was another lie based on, you know, dragging us into war. I don't know. Have you heard the story about how George Bush Sr. has come out and kind of thrown Rumsfeld and Cheney under the bus?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, and, not a bit. Are they, like, waiting for him to get under there with them?
My theory is that this is being done to, you know, help jab out a little bit, I think.
Trying to distance themselves from, the previous Bush administration?
I think so, a little bit. You know, he even went as far as saying that, you know, they set up their own kind of little independent departments outside of W is what George Sr. saying. That kind of Cheney and them operated, you know, to themselves. But, you know, that makes me feel like they're trying to pass off some of the sins of the administration on to Cheney and Rumsfeld to kind of, you know, get Jeb away from it and say, look, we're not like that. We're okay. We're the Bushes.
Well, you know, and arguably, you know, Rumsfeld and Cheney both had a lot of power.
They
had a lot of influence. You know, there were some say that they actually ran the administration, that Bush was just a figurehead. So in that respect, you know, that may be a good idea for them to help in their aspects to help out Jeb. But I don't think it's, you know.
No, I don't think it's going to work either. You know, I go back and forth on W. Part of me thinks that, you know, he was just kind of a bear and a bumbling buffoon. And maybe he's not such a bad guy. He was just kind of clueless and, you know, hanging out at his farm, not doing anything. And, you know, Cheney was the devil running the show. Or part of me thinks, you know, is George W. Bush, was he involved in all this stuff?
Oh, he definitely, I think, is a lot smarter than what a lot of people, especially detractors, would like to give him acknowledge anyways. But, you know, I think there's probably a little bit of both. You know, no president, contrary to a lot of people's opinion, is the most powerful person in the world, in the United States.
Far.
Right, so I'm personally of the belief that the resident president doesn't really make any kind of really big moves without completely being basically dictated to, and I say dictated to, surrounded by his advisors. You know, that's what his advisors are, and I think that's the reason we continue to see these same policies years after year with no matter, you know, which party's in power. And so I think it just enforces the idea that whatever president is up there, that he's not all-knowing, he's not all-omniscient, but he's definitely not innocent or without guilt.
Completely, because, you know, think about it as if there's somebody, you know, that's in position for 30 years, they're not an elected official, they're working at the CIA or they're working in whatever department they're working in, and they've been there for a long time. Do you think that that person that's been there for 30 years or longer is going to give up, you know, secrets to a guy with a temporary job?
Oh, right.
That in theory could be gone in 4 years.
No, of course not. No, of course.
I think the president's a need-to-know job.
Yeah, it really is.
And there are classifications above president as far as, you know, secrecy. So they know what they're supposed to know.
Yeah, there's, you know, and it's not a, you know, this idea of a shadow government. It's totally what you know, conspiracy theory all you want, but there are some very reputable organizations, individuals, even Princeton referred to the oligarchy that the U.S. has more so than any kind of representative republic. So, you know, God, you know, where do you get started? But, you know, the influence is definitely there, and it's definitely not in the favor of us, the people.
Well, it's one, there's a Rand Paul situation going on where he is trying to make it where the Federal Reserve can't lobby anymore. But I tell you what, right now I want to bring on a guest for the evening to talk about the TPP. The full text has just recently been released. Miss Heidi Wendell. Heidi, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, so tell us, everybody here, that don't know as much about the TPP, kind of give us a brief overview of what it is real quick.
Okay, great. I sure will. Well, the TPP is a, it's called a trade agreement, but actually it's a treaty. There's a lot of different reasons about that, but it's really not a trade agreement. It is a treaty that has been written in secret over the past 5 to 6 years by 500 to 600 corporate advisors and attorneys. The people were not able to have any part or access of that process to see what's going on or to give input, and neither was Congress, which Article 1, Section 8 of our U.S. Constitution says that Congress shall regulate trade. They were kept completely out of the loop of that until in the last, say, 6 months or something like that. But even there was a representative from Florida even that had to file FOIA requests several times before he actually got to see the text, and that was about 2.5 years ago, I think. And he had to go into like a closet-like room and not have, you know, pencil, paper, or a phone, or even his, you know, a lawyer, legal assistants to look at it and stuff like that. So it's been very secretive. We call it a corporate-rigged, corporate-written agreement, and WikiLeaks had been able to get a hold of copies of it in the last 2.5 years, 3 years, and that's how we even had a clue what it was and how bad it was. So it's with 12 different Pacific Rim countries, including some of the countries being Malaysia, Vietnam, Australia, Canada, Mexico, Chile, Peru, and the United States, and Japan, and Brunei, which is interesting because they they treat people really badly. And Obama just downgraded that level. I can't think of the word. If you can think of it, that'd be great. But Obama just downgraded their rating of this, I don't know if it's torture, slavery, that kind of thing.
Have a bad human rights record.
Sorry?
They have a bad human rights record.
Yeah, very bad. And Obama just downgraded it, or whichever way it was, to make it to allow them in, because that was one of the things that people really didn't want them in about. So anyway, the bottom line with that, this TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, has been written in secret over all this time. And then they pulled out this this tool, this they called it the Trade Promotion Authority. And we call it Fast Track, and that was a bill that was passed a couple months ago by Congress, and they tried to get Fast Track in January 2014. They introduced it the first time around, and the reason why they wanted Fast Track is what that does is Congress voted to turn over their power, their constitutional directive of Article 1, Section 8 to regulate trade and all the things that come with it, and their normal congressional processes that they're supposed to go through. They threw that up in the air. They turned that over to Obama so that he could go then. They gave it to the, you know, executive office to go then and sign off on the agreement first, which just happened in October. And so it's all backwards. So then he signed off on it. And now then he gives it to Congress. And then what they did in this last fast track bill is they put in a provision that it would be released to the public for, I think it's 60 days before Congress starts their process then. So that part is good. It just got released today. People can find it almost, you know, anywhere. Just Google the Trans-Pacific Partnership and you'll see the text. So the text of that agreement was released today. And there are analyses that are coming out like crazy. And the bottom line of any of the analysis that I've seen so far is that it's worse than we thought it was going to be. So it's really not good. And I'm actually kind of overwhelmed. I'm taking in all this information, and I'm also reading like what Congress members are telling their constituents, and watching like what the White House is putting out, watching what the USTR, the United States Trade Rep, is putting out, all this propaganda that is hitting the mass media, social media, everything, trying to convince people that this is a good thing.
Okay, so for people out there that are listening, they hear, okay, well, this agreement got passed, but, you know, I've got, you know, a kid screaming in the other room, got dinner going. Tell people how this is going to affect them, because it will affect them, and why this is so important that people should care about this.
Right. So this agreement, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, will affect people in, you know, everyday situations of their lives, starting at the very basics with their food. So basically, because why it will affect people, this is the big thing, is that they're the sold out government. You know, make sure people know it's sold out. It's not our government's not working properly because of these multinational corporations, these one percenters, the ultra rich and wealthy, have bought out most of our Congress. And so they're the ones that are driving these laws and putting these things in place. So I just want to make that point real quick so that people don't get mad at our government. It's our government's been infiltrated and it's corrupted. And so just keep that in mind. So how will it affect us? Well, one of the pieces that is really bad in this TPP is a provision called the ISDS, and that stands for the Investor State Dispute Settlement. So to put that in a nutshell for people, to try to help them with that, basically what that provision does is this. Any law, protective laws, any laws that we have that these multinational corporations like Monsanto or Pfizer or Bayer, ExxonMobil, you know, on and on and on, any laws that we have that they deem as a barrier to trade, those companies could then come and sue us. So, and not just, this piece is rattling, I think. They would not sue us on U.S. soil. That lawsuit would take place on foreign soil. It would be secret. It would take place where three corporate attorneys would decide on the fate of that lawsuit. And what they would be deciding is, how many millions, billions, trillions, I don't know, of dollars that taxpayers would have to pay these multinational corporations for future profit losses. So it wouldn't be just a fine or, you know, something like that.
And future profit losses, so people understand, that's speculative. That's nothing in stone.
I'm sorry, I'm having kind of a hard time to hear you. It sounds kind of like you're far away. I don't know.
But what I was saying, though, is what people need to understand is future profit losses, that's completely speculative. That's a number people are arriving to before it's in stone or a fact.
Right. And so how would you know? You know, like, here's an example. what of how they would figure out these future profit losses. So here's an example. So in the New York Times in July, there was an article about the Smith River mine in Montana. And it's a beautiful article. If anybody hadn't seen it, they sent a journalist out for several weeks, and he floated the Smith and all this. And so it's not just a typical article. It's like a, you know, it's like a National Geographic kind of article. But the piece is with that. And this is just one example. This is happening all across the nation, but this is an example. So there's a Canadian mining company that wants to have a copper mine at the head of the Smith River. Well, that Smith River is a beloved river. People draw lotteries to get the float on it in the summer and to fish and all this. It's beautiful. So the people in Montana don't want this Canadian mining company, this copper mine, to go into place. Well, so they're working really hard to get it protected. So when the Montanans get this river protected with the TPP, what would happen then is this Canadian mining company could come back to Montana, and they would tell Montanans, they would say, hey, Montana, guess what? Your nation signed this TPP, and so what that means is we're going to sue you, Montana, for future profit losses. Now, how many millions, billions, trillions is a copper mine going to be worth? Mm-hmm. I mean, right? And so then they would just send their figures and number crunches, whatever it is, off to this foreign tribunal, and then they're the ones that would decide. And it couldn't be rebutted. That's it. It would be done. And the taxpayers would be the ones that would have to pay this. So that's just an example. And where are other examples? Well, with our food. There's people who want to know what's in their food. So, for an example, they're in some places like in Jackson and Josephine County, Oregon. They have a ban on GMOs because those farmers grow organic seeds. And like Monsanto, Syngenta, those big ag companies had been planting GMO crops, and they were contaminating the organic crops, and they had to dig them all up. And so then, anyway, the farmers got a ban, and if this TPP goes in place, then they will get sued for and future profit losses. So our food, if we want to know what's in our food, if we have any kind of labeling on our food that they deem a barrier to trade, they could come back and sue us. The cool, this actually is taking place in a sense with the cool Act, which is the Country Origin of Labeling Bill. And that's happening right now in the Senate. The House, I think, passed, I can't remember on that one, but I did watch the Senate. That's labeling our meat, telling us what country our meat comes from. And we've already entered into agreement years past with, it was another fast-tracked free trade bill, the WTO, World Trade Organization. And right now, Canada is fussing at the U.S., because, and it's not just Canada, there's other countries too, but they want to send their meat into us without telling us where it's coming from, and that's just unacceptable. And I watched the whole the Agriculture Committee on it. They had one person standing up for the people. There was a rancher from North Dakota who was fighting for us, and the rest of the panel that they had there was all big ag chemical, you know, type GMO probe. It was really bad. Okay, other ways it would affect us: medicines. It would make the cost of medicines go up, because one of the things that would be considered a trade barrier are patenting provisions, laws that we have right now, which help us keep our medicine prices down, because right now they can only have patents so many years. I think it's 20. I'm not sure. But with this TPP, then what they want to be able to do is come back and say that they can have a pill, and they could come back and say, oh, this year we're also going to have a capsule. So now we're going to get 20 more years of patenting on it. And then they could say, oh, well, guess what? This heart medication also works for ADD. So now we're going to extend the patents. So how that affects us is it would keep us from being able to get generic medicines, which lowers the price of medicines. And internet freedom, there's a lot out there on that, how it would affect our internet freedom, our environmental protections. So people are having problems right now with fracking and things like that that are contaminating their water supply, and they've got protections in place. If a company comes in and they want to frack or whatever it is they want to do right there, and there's a water protection, they could sue that city or county or state and say, you know, you're keeping us from our future profit losses. So you just look around. Bees, I don't know if you guys know that, you know, bees are in trouble right now because of the big ag using GMOs. GMOs are made to be sprayed with all kinds of pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and things like that, so that all the other things die except for the plant. And it's also killing our pollinators. And so a lot of places are starting to get bee protections in place. And so a corporation could come in and say, you know, we're going to sue you for that law because we want to do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, boom. So those are just some examples. And some of those things already are happening under, I don't know if you guys remember or not, but there was back in 93, 94, there was another supposed free trade deal called NAFTA, the North American Free Trade.
Oh, yeah. Horrible. One of the big precursors to all this mess that
with
we're seeing.
With Ross Perot going on and on, and yep.
Right. And they told us how great it was going to be and, you know, how it was going to make everything so great. Well, that's, it was totally opposite. All these manufacturing, you know, millions of jobs lost. And, you know, I'm bad at numbers. I don't have them with me right in front of me. But like, you know, almost a million, or I don't know, a lot of manufacturing. Businesses, yeah, whole manufacturing businesses moved overseas, and those aren't going to come back. And so now they're telling us the same kinds of things with this TPP, that it's going to mean more jobs, and it's not.
The scary thing is we've been through this before, and people didn't learn from that, and they're going and doing it again on a grander scale.
Oh, yeah, and if people don't know this or not, this TPP, as crazy and bad as it is, it's like 40% of our trade. Is it the gross national product too? I can't remember. It's 40% though. But right behind it, what they have lined up after the TPP is a European trade agreement, a cousin to the TPP that would be with Europe. And so that would be another 20%. So then we'd be up to 60% of the whole world trade, you know, happening. And then after that, they have another one lined up called the Trade and Services Agreement, which is even worse, which I've been studying that one a little bit, but I didn't realize how bad that one was until I was listening to Senator Sessions. I think he's from Georgia?
Alabama,
yeah. I was listening to his testimony about Fast Track right before they voted in the Senate. And he was talking a lot about the TISA, and holy smokes, you know, if I thought the TPP was as bad, you know, it's just crazy that how could it be as bad as it is, but it is.
And the thing is, you know, it almost, not to, you know, hate to use this word, but it's kind of a, what they warned us about with the New World Order, but it's with corporations.
Yeah, it's a slight twist.
It's the corporations running what's happening. When you can go and sue a government for a number that hasn't, you know, something that hasn't happened yet, you're being controlled by that entity. And that's terrifying.
Yeah, and it should be to everybody. This has been, and what's also frustrating for many people who have just gotten involved, or just have woken up, so to speak, this is not a recent issue. You know, like you were mentioning the NAFTA, I'm glad you did. A lot of people are not aware that this new trade agreement is just another train car and a long list of similar agreements. You know, right behind NAFTA, we had GAFTA, the SPP. We had a number of trade agreements done, and this is all being done, obviously. I know we probably are aware. It's slowly eroding, not only, I won't say it's necessarily the goal, but what it's definitely, with purpose, it is serving, as Richard Haass, the former president of the CFR, said that, you know, we can only have national world government for the betterment of whole if we circumvent the U.S. sovereignty and go buy it in piecemeal. So, that, you know, this is what we're seeing. And it's not just us, of course. There's a lot of other countries that are going to suffer a lot of this. And I'm, for one, glad that, Heidi, that you're as knowledgeable about it as you are, because, you know, trade agreements is not a sexy word. You know, it's not something people want to hear.
No, it's not. And that's the thing, you know, that, you know, when we talk about what now, you know, what can we do? You know, number one, it's like, absolutely, you know, this isn't over. You know, we need people absolutely to go into high gear, and we need people to educate other people about this, their family and their communities, you know, to have people over and say, hey, let's watch some YouTubes about this, or, you know, read an article and talk about it or whatever. But we need people to start talking about it, and YouTube's probably, I think, the easiest way. There's a lot of good things out there. But there are, you know, some bad things if it's coming from the USTR or our president, or sellouts. But there's a lot of good ones that if anybody's telling you it's good, they are lying to you. They are lying to you.
Good point. You know, and while we're talking about that, it's interesting that, you know, Doctors Without Borders is actually making the claim that they believe they were actually targeted strictly, purposely, because of their opposition. They really have not been so much of a political, taken a political stance in the past, but they really went and got on board the anti-TPP agreement, and they actually believe that's why they were actually targeted. And if that is the case, you know, who knows how exactly that'll be proven. I think it's very quite possible. You know, to me, that's just more an indictment of the system we've got going. That it's not just crooked, but it's humanly, it's murderous.
It is, and it's sad because, you know, there is, you know, up to this point, there's no evidence to say 100%, well, they opposed this, so they were bombed.
Right.
But at the same time, to speculate that and to think that's even believable, it is not in good indication of where we're at today.
Right, exactly. When you can pee people when it's not so easily dismissed.
Correct.
It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I think you're right. You know, I watched the video and read different aspects of the Doctors Without Borders, and I do. I think they got bombed to shut them up.
Very possible.
I don't know.
And you mentioned it earlier, but just real quick, if you want to hit on the TTIP, because that's what's coming up next, and what's going on with, you know, the European trade. So, you know, that's one that hasn't been enacted yet. So if there's anything anybody can do about that.
What was the last part? If there's anything we can do about it?
Right.
Well, yes, there is. I mean, right now we need to fight the TPP because that would be a huge blow. If they get the TPP in, then they'll be working just to steamroll it all through. Europe has been having amazing demonstrations, huge demonstrations. They're very.
They definitely seem very passionate about it. I know London's had a few huge ones.
And Berlin had a recent one.
Yes. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that was really huge. So, theirs is a little different. I mean, theirs is different in that they have a lot better protections for their people than we do. So they would be hurt in a lot, you know, a whole different way. Like, for example, Yum is the corporation that has Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell and Pizza Hut. And they are wanting to expand, I think it's like 1,700 stores across Europe. And in order to do that, they need Europe to not have some of the protections and bans they have in place, because the food how they prepare things and the food of those companies, Europe has bans on those. you know, one of them is like chicken. They have bans over there on how chicken is processed, which we get the chicken, but it's like dipped in three different, it could be one of three or all three, I'm not sure, but different chemicals.
Right. And now we've got the green light to start sending our chicken over to China to actually be processed and returned back to the U.S.
Now, is that crazy or what?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it sounds like an onion like an onion toddle, yeah, onion story.
Right, yeah. So here's one other example. What's a cranberry? Ocean Spray. They, for in Europe, one of the things they want with the T-tip over there is they Europe has higher standards against glyphosate, which is a main ingredient in Roundup. And over here in the United States, our FDA keeps increasing the allowable amounts that can be sprayed on our food. And they keep saying, oh, okay, well now, you know, now this much is okay for humans to eat. Well, why they're doing that is because they keep spraying more and more pesticides on the GMOs because, as you guys probably know, that they're not working anymore. I mean, the weeds and the bugs are becoming resistant to these pesticides and herbicides and fungicides, so then they're having to spray more. Well, so the FDA keeps increasing it. So here in the United States, we are eating more and more and more Roundup, basically. Now, over there, Ocean Spray wants to be able to unload all these heavily laden cranberries with glyphosate. And so that's one of the things that they want through the TTIP is to get that provision or that protection off. So Europeans, so many Americans don't realize what we're eating in the first place, but Europeans are a lot more aware of their food. And just to make sure that people know, I don't know if you guys do, I imagine you do, but there is a call to action. There's a huge protest taking place November 14th through the 18th in D.C. It's called, you can look at hashtag Fall Rising. So it's hashtag Fall Rising, and it's to stop the TPP, TTIP, and TISA. And you could go to flushthetpp.org, and there's all kinds of information about the activities. There's housing. There's buses that are going. So if you get a hold of, you know, you could find all that if you go to flushthetpp.org. You can see if there's a bus going through their area, or you might be able to get a bus to go. Then there's housing that they have for people and, you know, food and stuff like that set up, and they're going to have some big, you know, protests and activities and things like that there from November 14th through the 18th. So if anybody can go, please do go, because we really need to. So I wanted to make sure that people knew about that. But there's going to be a lot more things happening, and we need people to be, you know, number one, aware that what's going on with this fake corporate rigged written treaty and what it means to us on all these different levels, and then to take action. And one of the things that people are starting to talk about is, like, instead of Christmas this year, you know, still do Christmas, like, you have kids and stuff and you make it nice for them. But for adults and stuff like that, to start using your money, like, for things like to make flyers, you know, to print flyers out and to flyer your neighborhoods and your communities so that people know what's going on and that they know to call Congress. Like, right now, like, you know, tomorrow, you know, like, every day, call your Congress members, your two senators and your one representative, and you can find them, if you don't know who that is, by going to contactingthecongress.org. That's contactingthecongress.org, and you can just click on your state, and it'll take you, help you figure out, you know, their phone number and everything. And so we need to just start pounding on them, because I was going to read one of them that somebody sent me, and they're like, you know, can you believe this? And so they're ready. They were all ready to send out, you know, their letters. It was released today, and then the letters went out right away. You know, and they're pleased as punch about it. You know, they're saying things like letting people know that it's been released and that they've posted it, and that I'm writing to encourage you to read it and send me your feedback. They don't really want to know our feedback.
Well, I'll tell you, Heidi, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad that you brought up that point. You know, a lot of people say, it, you know, it, that a lot of your mainstream, your talking heads, go back to the point about, oh, call your congressman and call your representatives. You know, for an activist, for anybody concerned about this stuff, I really would really suggest to have those numbers on your cell phone. You know, go to these guys' Facebook pages. This is where you can call them out. You're not going to have, in my opinion, a lot of individuals calling in favor of the TPP. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, hey, I'm going to call my senator and try to let him know I want this passed. But if we would seriously and really buckle down and let our representatives know that, hey, we don't want this, and do it publicly, it's very easy to make a phone call to representatives. At least it needs to be logged. We've got to go, you know, flyers and getting the word out are all great things. And we need to compliment them and hit them in a million different ways. But I'd really encourage everybody to take it to your congressman or your representative's Facebook page and make it public and call them out and force them to make a statement and just be a bug in their ear.
Yes, and also that Congress, I don't have the date for, maybe I do, but they're going to be on recess. They have, I think the Senate has two recesses this month, and the House has one. And so, like, the House, the recess starts the 9th for that whole week of November 9th. And then I think the Senate may be out. You can look it up. Just put Google Congressional recess, and you can find that. And then the week of the 21st, the Senate and the House, I think, are both home. So they're going to be home. And so what would be great is for people to organize meetings to go in face-to-face, and you can get talking points from, like, ExposeTPP.org or Flush the TPP. Go in and talk to them. And then also find out where they're going to be, you know, for events and stuff like that, and go bird dog them. That, you know, show up at the events and ask questions or protest. Make bunch of signs, you know, and show up at their offices or be out on your main street so that, you know, people become aware of what's going on. But, people like...
Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, go ahead. That's right. Go ahead.
I just got to say, these are absolutely all wonderful, great suggestions. We're actually running out of a little bit of time here, but fantastic call. Thank you for informing me and Kevin.
Yeah,
and
thank you, Heidi.
And all of our listeners out there. Please, all the suggestions, go to your congressman, use the power of social media. You don't think they read it, but they do read it, and if they're overwhelmed, they get scared because people are mad at them and they're not going to get money. Anything real quick you want to say, Heidi?
Real quick, just leave you with, make sure you go to flushthetpp.org to find out. There's tons of information about all this that's going on and some actions coming up. And here's the last thing. Real quick, there's a picture that I have in my mind that I've seen. There's a meme, and there's this huge fish, and he has his mouth wide open, and he's chasing all these, this school of little fish, and they're running like crazy. And the next picture you see is this big fish. He is running like, you're swimming like crazy in the other direction. And behind him is there that same school of little fish. But what those little fish did is they got themselves organized into the outline of a huge fish. Mm-hmm. And they're chasing that other fish. And so that's what we need to do. We're very powerful, but we need to organize ourselves and stand up and get on this, because if we don't do this, what I see down the line is a violent revolution. And I don't think our country can handle that.
Good point.
So, yeah. All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate you guys taking time to talk about this tonight.
Thank you so much. Heidi Wendell, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Super informative interview.
Oh, very much.
For anybody that that came in the middle of that, please catch us on YouTube. That'll be up right after the show. Fantastic information, especially, you know, information that relates to the average person. I think so many people, it's like you said earlier, like they hear about this huge agreement and they're just like, oh, whatever, it's boring. I don't know what that means.
Right.
It's not going to affect me. And to know that this stuff is going to affect us in our daily life, you know, that's what you have to get across to people, I think.
Right, and the next generations, you know, our kids and their grandchildren and et cetera, it's going to get...
It really is. You know, we got into the whole Bernie Sanders thing today, and we'll go into that a little bit. But I will say this for Bernie. He is super opposed to the TPP. That's one thing he was
not for, super against.
You know, it's funny, he was also super against the Federal Reserve, and at the last moment,
yeah, at the last moment,
killed the bill. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, I wonder what it would take for Bernie to come out and support the TPP. You know, this, I'll agree this on this end, and I like to bash everybody. Some of us like to bash Bernie, but I will give him kudos for his stance against the TPP. Yeah. I wouldn't expect anything else.
For those of the folks who didn't see the article up on it's up on theantimedia.org right now. An article I wrote concerning Bernie Sanders and his relationship with Uber. His relationship with Uber was and he says, you know, he's got massive problems with Uber. He doesn't think it's regulated enough, or calls it unregulated. But when financial records statements came out, Bernie had actually been using Uber 100% of the time for his taxi services or you know, ride sharing services. I want to bring you on right now to talk about this a little bit is our wonderful writer, Ms. Carrie Wedler. Carrie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Can't complain. So I know you definitely have some thoughts about the whole Bernie Sanders situation and really more his supporters.
I do. Did you just want my general opinion?
Just your general, what do you think?
Okay, well, I just want to say I heard the tail end you guys were talking about Uber and about Bernie Sanders taking Uber. And I just want to point out that some people were saying, you know, like, well, he didn't say this thing hypocritical. He's using Uber, which I respond and say, well, okay, if his premise is that Uber is unregulated, it's dangerous, it needs to be regulated, why is he using it? And to me, I mean, I assume people would say, well, it's cheap, and he's a man of the people. And it's like, okay, well, then maybe he should accept the free market solution to this instead of trying to destroy it. But, all right, I'm a little worked up over the Sanders supporters today.
I've got a lot of love letters today from a lot of their supporters.
I'm sure that's exactly what they were.
Yeah, I love the killing.
No, I don't want to be hateful. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be condescending, but being someone who has definitely fallen victim to going on with Sanders supporters right now, it's like especially frustrating to me because, as you know, I was a huge Obama supporter and I ignored all of the articles people sent to me trying to explain to me why he was the worm. I ignored it. I put on my Obama shades and I was like, you guys are nuts. You just don't like Obama. You're racist. You know, just that and the other. Any reason you can think of to reject fact. And I'm just seeing this happen now. And as an outsider to it, it's heartbreaking in a way because I'm watching people who want something good for their country. And I'm of the opinion, and I'm sure a lot of our audiences, I'm sure we have Bernie Sanders too. You know, I mean no disrespect. Like, I'm of the opinion after seeing Obama, after studying history, that no individual is going to just fix the country's problems. I was a huge Ron Paul supporter. He cured my apathy, as a lot of people say, but I was a fool to think that if he had been elected, he could have changed everything. And I see that now. And it's just sad to me to see so many people in, because I mean, they're relying on this guy. They think he's going to provide them jobs. They think he's going to provide them security. And it's really sad to see them disregarding all of these red flags about his history just for the sake of feeling a little bit more secure and the fact that they have somebody to believe in. And that, for me, is the core issue. It's a belief. It's a belief in government. It's a belief in this authority. It's a belief in some messiah who's going to come save you. And I think when you rely on that, we're walking down a very dangerous path.
Well, if anybody's interested in free things from a politician, please keep in mind that Berman Supreme is running for president and he's giving away free ponies. So free ponies are awesome. And for any politicians that may be listening, I'll probably sell out my vote for tickets to go see the Stone Roses in next summer. So just keep that out there on the table as well.
Did you mention that she's was also the quote unquote Obama girl?
The burning the flag shirt.
Right.
So you definitely made your political statement of what you did believe, and then you had your, I guess, conversion by fire, literally.
Yeah. Well, actually, the conversion happened earlier, and the fire was just for fun. But, it did happen, and it was, you know, I think it's really important as an activist for me to really make that clear. Like, I want people to know that I made a mistake. I want people to know that it's okay. It's okay if you're duped by politicians. It happens. That's their goal. That's what they're there to do, so they can exploit you. Like, I really, like, I don't like to be self-righteous. I don't like to be preachy. Like, I like to let, I'm human. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We're all victims of the system. And I think it's really important to be a little bit humble about it. You know, like, I will never deny that I made a horrible decision in voting for Obama. And I guess it's just, it hits home for me to see so many people falling for Sanders, especially people who fell for Obama and then just said that they were never going to trust another politician again. And then Bernie Sanders comes along and promises free stuff.
But he's different. Yeah, but he's different.
He says Obama, a lot of really nice things.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's the different. Yeah. The thing that's bizarre to me, you mentioned Ron Paul earlier, and the thing that's weird to me is I definitely got the Ron Paul thing, because to me he was advocating for less government, less regulation, less a lot of stuff. And
it
feels like, you know, there's this sentiment in the country that people are very mistrustworthy of the media. They're mistrustworthy of government. And I think that's, you know, Trump's a lot of supporters, or people are sick of those institutions. I think Bernie Sanders, a lot of his supporters, you know, they're sick of the Clintons, they're sick of the institution of power. You know, they got sold out with Obama, things didn't work out. So they're sick of the government, and they're all saying, this guy that wants more government's going to fix everything.
Let's have more government, yeah.
Right, well, Ron Paul was saying less government to fix things, but this guy's like, well, you hate the government, let's get more of it.
Well, you know, Ron too, is also, he's got an opposite tact. He's not appealing to, he's appealing to reason as opposed to emotions. And you know, that's exactly what Trump is doing to a large degree. And a lot of the, you know, it's an
age-old Trump is straight emotion, though. And I think politically he's brilliant. As far as his ideas of what he would do to this country, he would burn it to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
We would all be dead in his hand. But, you know,
he's a tactician.
He's like Clinton. He's like Bill Clinton. He's politically, he's very smart.
This is Donald Trump, right? You're talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah. Just talk about him and his other cronies. Just using, you know, they all use the appeal not to to reason, but to
Sanders is, I think, is just catching the "I hate Hillary" vote.
No doubt. I mean, you've got to be, if you're a Democrat, a true Democrat, lifelong Democrat, you've got to be at this point frustrated with Hillary. You know, how could you, Democrat or not a Republican, how could you actually swing your vote behind Hillary? No one would know her history. You know, it's gone on and on and on. How could you bring yourself to vote? And I do feel genuinely, it's unfortunate they feel like they cannot, that they have to go. That there's no other alternative for Democrats. It's even the least bit viable, not that Bernie is himself, but it's unfortunate that that's a shell you just can't get, you know. But the freedom activists that are supporting Bernie is
they're not where first off,
right?
Freedom,
yeah,
I quote freedom.
Right, right, you're right. It's just that so-called, you know, the people that claim to carry the banner of liberty and freedom and then turn around and vote for Sanders or say they're Sanders supporter, you know, that's what gets me. You know, you can agree with somebody on a couple points without endorsing this person.
Bernie Sanders 2016, give me regulations or give me
dead. Well, and talking about Hillary, you know, one of the things that really got me about Sanders and Sanders supporters was there was a point, I think, in the first Democratic debate where I guess the I don't watch the debates. I like to save my brain cells, but there was a point that I read where the moderator, somebody was like sort of inciting Bernie to do it. And the general reaction to that was like, whoa, what a great guy. What a stand-up guy. Wow, you won't speak to that level. And for me, it's like, that's a joke. She embodies every single thing that Bernie Sanders is on that very
same thing. He could have crushed her on Goldman Sachs. She could have been
well,
done.
Exactly. And he won't. And it's probably because he's going to endorse her when he drops
that's
out.
That's it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, I don't understand how somebody can sit there and say that Bernie advocates for all these amazing things and he wants to tackle the banks and he wants to revolutionize the country and turn it into this socialist utopia and he has so much principle and he's such a great guy and his reputation is so great, but he won't call out somebody who's been instrumental in creating the situation that we have today. Hillary Clinton is such a power player in the elite and in the way that our society is now constructed, and he won't call her out.
And if anybody wants to
know, I don't see that as him being a gentleman. I see that as a joke and a fraud. Like, how are you going to rail against these things and not call her out when you have the opportunity?
Right. If you want to know how principled Bernie Sanders is, go Google Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders, audit the Fed, and see what Ron Paul has to say about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, nobody wants to talk about Israel. Nobody wants to talk about Bernie Sanders wanting Saudi Arabia fighting the war against ISIS when they killed, like, probably the same amount of civilians as America. Like, nobody wants to hear that. And that's why I'm so frustrated, because you try to reason with these people with things that they should agree with you on. Things that, as being a member of the left or being a socialist, they, like, look at Jeremy Corbyn in Britain. I'm not a socialist, but I can respect him because he is... he's principled across the board. He's willing to speak out.
He's
willing to call out Israel. And then you have a pseudo-socialist here like Bernie Sanders, who doesn't have the balls to even criticize a state that owns the United States. He'll say he won't see Netanyahu speech Congress, but is he going to stop funding? No. Is he going to stop funding foreign adventures on? No.
Of course he's not. And here's the amazing part to me is he talks about, okay, all you hear is this, he's, you know, complex, he's against the wars, he's against this. And then he supports it when Obama announces he's going to stay in Afghanistan. That's crazy. We've been in Afghanistan for 14 years now. Like, and Obama was supposed to get us out in 2009, I believe. We're still there. It's in his seventh year. And he announced that we're going to be in Afghanistan after he's out of office. And this is the guy that repeatedly said he's going to get us out of Afghanistan.
No,
got a Nobel Peace Prize. We're going to literally stay for his entire 8 years in office. And
well, and he has a very similar voting record to Obama.
Well, because somebody's got to defend that $43 million, or is it billion-dollar gas station that we built up there? Yeah, somebody's got to defend that, of course, right?
It's disgusting, though. Like, how do people keep falling for this? Like, it makes zero sense to me. We've just gone through this. At least Obama was a much better speaker.
Right.
Well, I mean, and you have Sanders up on stage during the Democratic debate basically arguing to defend his warmongering. He's saying that if one of our allies was invaded, he wouldn't hesitate to send boots on the ground. So Saudi Arabia, the human rights abusing dictatorship that's beheading people and crucifying them, so if they get attacked, it'll probably honestly be deserved, but Bernie Sanders is willing to go bomb on behalf of Saudi Arabia. Like, it blows my mind that his supporters don't have a problem with this. But at the same time, it doesn't, because I had no problem with Obama. People told me that he voted to support the Iraq War. No. He voted against it when it first happened, so we can trust him. And Bernie Sanders did the exact same thing. So I just can't understand how people think it's going to be any different.
The Zom Bernies is what I like to call them.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they...
You know, I think he knows... Bernie knows that his time's almost up. You know, he was a hardcore. He had some beliefs I may have even would agree. He actually, believe it or not, was a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment back in the day. Of course, that's changed a lot now. But I think he knows that what he's doing. He's only, in my opinion, he knows he didn't have a shot at running for president. I think he's only just trying to use this time to force Hillary, the Democrats, to go further to the left.
He's there to make it. I think he's there to make it look like there's a contest, to make it look like she's not running unopposed.
Right.
I also think that he was chosen because he's so far to the left on a lot of this economic stuff that she looks like a moderate.
Yeah, you're right. She does.
And, you know, she definitely resembles the neocons way more than he does. So I think being that far left, they're like, okay, well, you know, we'll meet in, you know, that's
we'll
too far.
We'll meet in the middle, but we'll still be, in hindsight, further to the left than what we had been. And I hate to even keep using the left and right. It should be more towards the authoritarian.
That's what it is. It's exactly what it is. You know, we're sold on these ideas by left and right, but if you look at it, it's just the expansion.
And the semantics, yeah.
That's it.
Authoritarian versus individuals.
Right. And the right is authoritarian, too, when you're talking politically. Absolutely.
Well, and I just want to point out that it's so frustrating to me because people will say, well, Bernie's the best we have. Yeah, he may have supported Operation Protective Edge, and yeah, he may block auditing the Fed, and yeah, this, that, and the other, but he's the best we have. To which I say, okay, so if the best we can get in this political system is a guy who's still going to continue the American empire and isn't going to make any tangible change aside from shifting around where resources are spent, I think we should re-examine the system. Like, it's a sad state of affairs when there is no anti-war candidate.
You said it best. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Carrie. We will be back next week. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us in studio tonight.
Thank you.
Join Nick tomorrow, next Monday, and then I will be back on Tuesday. This is SM Gibson with Anti-Media Radio. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, through the stereo.